especially if you are roughly of my vintage, the final scene of the 2016 Star Wars spinoff movie, Rogue One, is one of the most celebrated scenes in recent cinematic history. The action takes place immediately prior to the beginning of 1977's epic Star Wars. The plans to the Death Star have been stolen from Imperial forces by daring rebels. Darth Vader's pursuing spaceship catches up with the fleeing rebels, and as doors are forced open, Vader's unmistakable and ominous breathing wafts through the darkness. The rebel soldiers cower. And the next thing the viewer sees is Darth Vader's blood-red lightsaber. As Vader moves relentlessly toward and through the rebel soldiers, sowing mayhem and death as he goes. Just as Darth Vader is about to reclaim the Death Star plans, the rebel escape ship ejects and flies away, out of Vader's clutches for the moment, but frighteningly vulnerable and small in the enormity of space. In the story arc of the Star Wars saga, the scene at the end of Rogue One is the nadir. It's the darkest moment when all is but lost. It's a cinematic moment similar, actually, to those chronicled in both our Old Testament and Gospel readings today. In Daniel, the teller of dreams, has chronicled a lengthy vision of competing nations vying for power and control as regular people suffer as pawns in a child's game played by grown-up men. Regular people feel desperate and vulnerable and impotent to control their own lives. The world is indeed an increasingly dark place. In Mark's gospel, Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives, looking across the Kidron Valley to Jerusalem, and sees the massive Jewish temple, larger than any building any of us have ever seen or ever will see. And Jesus knows in his imagination what is coming. That soon and very soon, the Romans will crush that temple to rubble. And the world as the Jewish people have known it is ending, never to return. And that ending will bring fear and disruption and pain. Worst yet, in the midst of it all, some will arise with easy and tantalizing and soothing words that palliate for a moment, but do nothing to make the world a better place. These readings hit home for me. Maybe they did for you. A world in flux and not for the better seems reminiscent of our own experience, writ both small and large, as just a few recent examples. I have recently been at the bedside of people important to me and to you who were suffering and who were dying. Images of wildfires in California, of scorched land and scorched people, sear the consciousness just as they sear the landscape. 3 deaths at Lamar High School this past week. Those touch everyone in this room by at most 1 or 2 degrees of separation. They're shocking because they are so close, but they're also hauntingly familiar, since we read about similar deaths elsewhere now as virtually routine. And none of that even touches upon our ongoing national and international saga, in which community and conversation continue to break down as we silo with like minds and assume the very worst of anyone who disagrees with us. And this may be especially on our minds this Thanksgiving week, as we become ever more fearful that any unguarded comment we make may fracture our relationships with those we love and with those with whom we've built our lives. There shall be a time of anguish, Daniel says. That seems about right. The stones on which you have relied will crumble, Mark says. That seems about right. Rewatching that final scene in Rogue One this past week, seeing that tableau with the tiny speck of the fleeing rebel spaceship against the foreboding darkness of deep space underscored for me how tenuous the future is for every generation, including our own. But as I looked at that tableau of the little spaceship in the darkness, it also brought to mind the aphorism, "It's always darkest before the dawn." So I looked it up. That saying traces all the way back to England when Thomas Fuller wrote it down in 1650, and to Ireland, where it seems to have lived in folk culture maybe forever. It also turns out that to some extent, the saying is more than a metaphor. For half of each month, the 2 weeks immediately following the new moon, the moon can be seen after sunset, but not before sunrise. Just before dawn, the moon, it turns out, is hidden, its light emitted from the night sky. And so half the time, just before the first glimpse of sunlight appears over the eastern horizon, it is literally darkest. Just before the dawn. In the movie Rogue One, just as Darth Vader is about to overtake the last of the rebels and the small rebel escape ship ejects to tentative safety, a rebel soldier enters that little ship's bridge and offers the Death Star plans to what appears at first to be a woman dressed in angelic and blazing white. As she turns to receive those plans, we see that it is Princess Leia, but with the youthful and radiant countenance that we remember from 1977. That's the wonder of digital technology today. And the soldier says, "Your Highness, the transmission we've received, what is it they've sent us?" And Princess Leia replies with a single word: "Hope." Both Daniel and Mark foretell darkness today. But that's not all they foretell. The saying, "darkest before the dawn," includes the invocation of daybreak. It assumes that darkness will not last forever, that the emergence of light is not only expected, but assured. It implies the final word from Rogue One, spoken from the lips of Princess Leia: hope. What is hope? Well, dictionaries will define it as a desire for something to happen, or wanting something to be the case. But those are secular definitions. They're synonymous with what we might call wishful thinking. They certainly do not fit the bill of what Princess Leia means with her movie-ending utterance. For her, hope is the result of dogged planning, of extreme risk, of grievous sacrifice by many. Hope is born not of wishful thinking, but through preparation and participation in a future that is not yet. See, hope is not in the end a secular word. It is the preeminent Christian word. It's the word that rightly defines all of us in the world. At the end of today's Mark reading, Jesus says that the suffering the people will endure is not the suffering of despair, what Viktor Frankl will call suffering without meaning, but the suffering of birth pangs, the suffering that is the prelude to new life. And at the heart of Daniel's prophecy today is not the anguish, but resurrection and new hope. And resurrection, new birth and resurrection, those are sentiments of hope. So what is hope? Hope is first the trust that God is up to something, even when we can't easily see it. Hope is believing, even though things we cherish may crumble and people we love may die. And old ways may burn away, that God is preparing for the birth of something new, both in our individual lives, in each one of us, and for our world. But that alone is not hope. Hope is not merely the religious version of wishful thinking, those pithy gestures of thoughts and prayers so often heard today. Hope also includes our trust and our belief taking action, working doggedly in concert with God, taking risks, and making sacrifices for goodness and grace in both our individual lives and in our world. Hope is not just something we have, it is something we enact. Hope is something that we do. Hope is our preparation for and our participation in a future that is not yet. Because by our cooperation with God, especially in those moments when stones crumble and darkness seems most opaque, that is when the not yet begins its birth. And the first glimmer of dawn emerges over the horizon. Darkness is real. Don't let anyone tell you that it isn't. But it is darkest just before dawn. And the dawn begins to break when those who side with goodness and grace have hope and live hope. Then, Daniel says today, then the very angels of God will arise and will work with us in tandem. The old may give way, but in its place God will resurrect. God will birth something new. And we ourselves will shine, Daniel promises, like the brightness of the sky, like stars forever and ever. So be people of hope. Have hope and live hope. Because friends, that's something worth hoping for. Amen.